It's not just good conversation, it's your voice on the weekends. Weekends with Kenny Rahmeyer on News Radio KLBJ.
It's not journalism, whatever they're doing, and Kenny, you're doing a lot better job. You're much closer to the journalistic ideal than those guys are.
And good afternoon to you. Kenny Rahmeyer with you on this Sunday afternoon, live and local for you this afternoon, as the recovery, the repairs, the restoration of services continues in the aftermath of the historic winter weather that we've had here in Central Texas, across much of the state, and all around the country in many regards, for that matter. So this afternoon, as we've been doing since the beginning of this winter weather event, taking your phone calls as we go along this afternoon. Along the way, you're going to hear from Texas Governor Greg Abbott, who just moments ago wrapped up a press conference down in Bexar County. Going to give you some of his comments on the status of water and power around the state. Also, the latest from Austin Energy and the Austin Water Department. And we're going to hear from Congressman Michael McCaul about the situation here in Texas as well. All of that and a lot more, along with your phone calls and your text messages here this afternoon. 512-836-0590 is the phone number. You can give us a call or send us a text here on KLBJ. Let's start with the water situation here in Austin. Austin Water's continuing to try to regain operating storage levels all across the system. As you probably heard, they'd like to have 100 million gallons in the reservoirs to maintain a normal, healthy water system. As of this morning, the storage number stands at around 72 million gallons. That's up from 60 million gallons yesterday. Austin Water put out a statement not too long ago, says we continue to see improvement in water pressure in our water distribution system. This morning, the south and parts of the northwest part of Austin have moved from the water outage stage to low pressure stage. And individual water pressure and service may vary from house to house within a zone. Be interested to know how your situation is. Just anecdotal evidence of phone calls that I've been making to various people around town. I mean, there's some that have seems full water power at this point and full water service, some that are still just seeing a trickle out of the faucets, and then kind of everything in between. Texas Governor Greg Abbott addressed the water situation at this press conference just moments ago down in Bexar County, and here's some of what he had to say about the water situation here in the state.
We are working, we being the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality and the state of Texas, we're working with cities as cities and localities work to get their water power back up and running. We continue to get updates during the course of today as well as last night showing that the water is being restored to communities across the entire state.
Okay, and so that's a part of what the governor had to say about the water situation. He also addressed the energy situation. Before we get to that, here's a take a look at what's going on here locally. Austin Energy said today that it has only a few outages remaining, a lot of which need transformers replaced. So as of around 10 this morning, 408 customers are without power, and that equates to 99.92% of the customer base for Austin Energy does have power. You have to know that's little consolation to the 0.08% who may still not have power after well over a week or more. There's no firm answer on when power is going to be restored to everyone. Austin Energy said that when your power does come back on, don't immediately crank up your thermostat. Don't turn on every light or plug everything back in. And they're asking you to be sure and give the circuits time to power up completely. Governor Abbott also addressed the latest on the power situation statewide at the press conference. Here's some of what the governor had to say about the power situation.
The ability for power to be generated in the state of Texas is at full capacity. As of about an hour ago, there still remained about 30,000 Texans who did not have access to power. If they did not have access to power, the reason for it is because of their local power provider, where they still need to get hookups or there could be power lines down. Based upon the speed that I've seen power get restored, I suspect that all power will be fully restored across the state of Texas to every house either later tonight or tomorrow.
512-836-0590 if you would like to join us here on KLBJ. You've probably seen some of these outrageous stories. They've certainly been out there on the internet, maybe out there in social media as well. Right, here's one in particular. This guy, according to the New York Times, received a bill for $16,752. Now, Austin Energy, this is from the Statesman, today says, customers who are seeing their electric bills spike likely have rates controlled by variable bill pricing, where rates are based on the market. In that scenario, you can save money when prices go down. You also are vulnerable to surging prices when the energy market swings the other way. We've seen firsthand evidence of that, right, these past several days. Austin Energy uses fixed rates. Any changes to Austin Energy's prices must be authorized by the Austin City Council. That's according to Austin Energy. According to the Statesman here, if you did use power, you're going to be billed at normal rates. Goes on to say, though, you might see higher bills for another reason. Heating your home during cold weather can use more energy. Okay, I think we got that. So we also know, too, that yesterday Governor Abbott held a meeting with other state leaders, state officials, about these spikes that some are seeing in their energy bills. And the governor said that he's working with these other leaders, these other officials, to alleviate that problem as best they can. Apparently, according to reports, that discussion with the lawmakers yesterday and the governor's office, they focused on calculating the cost of those humongous energy bills and then trying to determine how the state could help to reduce that burden. We do know, too, that this coming week, the House and the Senate and the state legislature are going to convene to investigate how these outages happened and what can be done to address those situations and so that we'll be better prepared next time around. When we come back, we'll get into a little bit more about how we got to where we are right now and what can be done, if anything, going forward to make the situation better. We've got some other news as well, all related to all the issues people are having with the need for plumbers, some best practices on how to make sure you're doing what you can so that you've got the information you need to either get with your insurance company, if you have insurance, if you're going to have to file a claim with FEMA, for example, to try to get some help that way. We'll try to cover all that relevant information for you as best we can. As predicted, when I was on the air with Todd Jeffries on the Todd and Don Show on Friday morning, Senator Ted Cruz was a big focal point for Saturday Night Live last night, as we anticipated. And we'll get into that a little bit later on the show as well. But first and foremost, we want to feature your phone calls, your text messages, any of your experiences since even these last 24, 48 hours, as things have clearly gotten a little bit better for many. But now there's a lot of challenges ahead as the repairs, the recovery, restoration of services is underway. So 512-836-0590. You can give us a call or send us a text right here on KLBJ. Hey, good afternoon to you. Thanks a lot for being with us here live and local on News Radio KLBJ. I'm Kenny Rahmeyer. We're just giving you all the latest on the water, the power situation, and the aftermath of the winter of 21, as it'll be remembered, maybe in many other ways as well, right? I heard somebody say something about 2020 was hell and 2021 is hell frozen over so far. I heard one of our pastors of our church this morning said that, relative to COVID and now with the winter 21 situation here in Central Texas, we have a mess within a mess. You may have other names for it, but either way, we're here to give you as much information as we have on all of this afternoon, and we're taking your phone calls and your text messages along the way at 512-836-0590. Just to briefly recap what I'd mentioned in the first part of the program, if you just joined us, Austin Water says they need 100 million gallons in the reservoirs to maintain a healthy water system. As of this morning, they had around 72 million gallons. That's up from 60 million gallons yesterday. Austin Energy says that as of mid-morning today, 99.92% of its customer base has power. And they are working to address all the remaining issues. Austin Energy said, according to the Statesman, the few outages that are remaining have to do with transformers that need replacing. No firm answer on when all those issues will finally be tied down. Likewise, the Austin Water Department hasn't given any timeline specifically as to when they're going to hit that 100 million gallon threshold. So we'll keep you posted on that. Water distribution has been taking place all around the state, certainly here in Austin. 10 different distribution sites opened up around 11 this morning. Nelson Field, the Onion Creek Soccer Complex, ACC Highland Mall parking lot, the Lakeline Station, Zilker Park, Anderson High School, just some of those. And the understanding is they will continue to give out water as long as supplies last. The Travis County Judge Andy Brown issued an order prohibiting washing any of your cars or trucks until Thursday of this week. Judge Andy Brown also calling for all Travis County residents to conserve water as much as possible. The city's still under a mandatory water restrictions and still has the boil water notice in effect. All of that as of just a little bit before we went on the air. The state has ordered and is bringing in 10 million bottles of water, more than 5 million ready-to-eat meals, a lot of that being distributed with the help of the Texas National Guard and some other partners. The idea is to help get the water and the other supplies all across the state. We also have learned, just in terms of what's going on with the kids and with school starting this week, UT scheduled to be closed through Wednesday at 8 a.m. ACC is going to remain closed until 8 a.m. on Wednesday as well. Austin ISD, no school on Monday or Tuesday. Wednesday and Thursday, 100% remote learning, and Friday, asynchronous learning. That's for AISD. Lake Travis ISD will remain closed through Monday. Pflugerville ISD will participate in virtual learning tomorrow and Tuesday. Round Rock ISD says all classes and offices will be closed on Monday and Tuesday. 512-836-0590. If you would like to join us here on KLBJ, Congressman Michael McCaul was on CNN's State of the Union program this morning, and for the most part, he was defending our independent power grid system here in Texas. He mentioned that the costs are going to be significant. Here's a little bit of what Congressman McCaul said about the anticipated cost of all this on CNN.
We estimate this may be as high as the emergency relief during Hurricane Harvey, to put it in perspective.
And he also touched on winterization, right? That's been so much in the news, such a big issue. We know coming into this weekend, on the tail end of this huge winter weather event, that the power providers collectively, while they didn't break any rules, they clearly didn't keep up with the weatherization, the winterization efforts that were recommendations, that were guidelines, but not mandates. 185 generating units, including gas, coal-fired power plants, you know, they tripped offline during the brunt of the storm. The wind turbines out in West Texas froze as well. A nuclear unit down near the Gulf of Mexico went down for more than 48 hours. And then some power plants lost their pipeline supply of gas, couldn't generate electricity, even if they wanted to try to get in on some of the higher prices that were the result of all this in those variable markets. Congressman McCall had this to say about the winterization process, what was done, what was not done, and so forth.
Well, I think power sharing would have been helpful if we could have shared with other power grids. Texas does have its own grid called ERCOT. It was set up that way to be independent of federal oversight and regulations. And, you know, that's very good with things like cybersecurity. Not so good when it comes to an Arctic blast like this one. In 2011, the state legislature, after we had a really bad freeze, came out with a bipartisan report with recommendations to the energy companies and to ERCOT as to how to winterize our operations. The difference between Texas and, say, the Northeast is we're not prepared for this. We're not used to this kind of weather. So when it happened, our entire energy system was not winterized for sub-zero-degree temperature as it is in the Northeast. That is what we're going to be taking a look at moving forward, are these recommendations that were made in 2011, and how can we move forward to winterize these operations so this never happens again?
512-836-0590. Here on KLBJ, if you'd like to join us, you can give us a call or send us a text. Of course, let's hope there's going to be a fair amount of effort, a time and effort going forward on just exactly what went wrong, some analysis in total of all the things that went wrong here, and what can be done to ensure that this doesn't happen again, even with the infrequency of this kind of a weather event here in Texas. We know that Governor Abbott is calling on the legislators here in the state capitol to make winterizing the state's power production equipment a top priority. And when you start drilling down into this, some great articles, some great work done this weekend on the part of the Wall Street Journal, the Dallas Morning News, and I'll be quoting from some of those articles as we go along here in the second half of the show. Texas doesn't penalize power plants that are ill-equipped for the severe cold. Get this, the state utility regulators have issued only 3 fines ever related to inadequate weather planning by power generators. That according to the Dallas Morning News. The fines amounted to just $25,000 in total, and those fines were issued for not submitting plans on time, not for failing to properly weatherize the equipment. So we know that the winter storm that we've just experienced here knocked the generators of all types offline. So critical components of our energy supply chain were frozen. The natural gas well heads, the power plant equipment, the wind turbines, the pipelines, right? Just all aspects of everything that goes into producing power here in the state. And so the snow and the very cold temperatures knocked the power generators offline. The rolling blackouts came along, and the blackouts were not rolling so much, right? They went on for hours and even days at a time. So the state has begun to track how well prepared our electric grid is for the extreme weather. The power generators have to submit emergency plans that detail what would be done in the event of extreme heat or cold. But here's the kicker. The power generators are not required to take specific steps to winterize their equipment, like adding de-icing machines on wind turbines or insulating valves and sensors. So the state has laid out best practices, guidelines, if you will, but these are simply recommendations. And as I mentioned a moment ago, the power generators have got to file emergency plans, most of which are confidential. So here's some good work on the part of the Dallas Morning News. They took a look at a handful of the plans that were submitted last year that were not confidential, and they found a huge gap in how different power generators had planned for the extreme weather. And here's another key part of the overall process that clearly is broken down. ERCOT, the Electric Reliability Council of Texas, reviews about 100 weatherization plans a year, and they might make general suggestions. Dallas Morning News reports just month, ERCOT said most plants were following their weatherization plans. Now, is it just such that the 100 or so weatherization plans that ERCOT reviewed did not include any of the 185 producers that fell offline because they didn't do a good job? Is that just coincidence that it happened that way? ERCOT doesn't have the ability to fine or penalize the generators. And we'll talk about this and a whole lot more from Governor Abbott. Coming up, stay with us. Hey, Kenny Rahlmeyer back with you on a Sunday afternoon. This Sunday afternoon looks a whole lot better than this time last week. 512-836-0590. If you'd like to give us a call or send us a text here on KLBJ, we are live and local for you this hour, giving you all the latest from Austin Energy, from the Austin Water Department, taking your text messages and your phone calls about what's going on with you and your situation here. And I guess from a therapeutic standpoint, if you just want to vent, we can do that too. 512-836-0590 here on KLBJ. If you just joined us, Governor Abbott just wrapped up a press conference in the last hour down in Bexar County. And he specifically talked about the power situation statewide, about the water situation statewide. We'll let you hear from him in just a moment. Here locally, Austin Energy says that as of mid-morning, about 99.9% of its customers have power. Austin Water Department says as they need right at 100 million gallons of water in the reservoir to return to normal operations. A little bit earlier today, they were up around 72 million gallons, and that's up from 60 million gallons yesterday. Here's a little bit more of what Governor Abbott had to say about the water situation around the state, the efforts that are being made to get water to those that need it, and so forth. Governor Abbott down in Bexar County just a little bit earlier this afternoon.
Another issue concerning water. We're out here in above 60 degree weather where the sun is shining. Even though the sun may be shining on us, there are clouds looming over the lives of so many Texans right now because of busted pipes. We want to make sure that the state is stepping up to do everything that we can to help people in their homes who are trying to repair busted pipes. One thing that we're doing is we are bringing in more plumbers. Plumbers will be in high demand. We want to make sure that we have a supply that can meet that demand. We urge everybody who may have broken pipes to call a plumber as quickly as possible. Also, you need to be sure that you call your insurance agent as quickly as possible. Your insurance agent should be working with you. If you have homeowners insurance or renters insurance, they should be working with you to make sure those pipes get fixed. If you do not have insurance, you may qualify for a FEMA reimbursement. We have had FEMA assistance granted by the federal government, and a part of that is individual assistance that will assist individuals whose homes or apartments have been harmed because of the winter storm. If so, you will need to document any type of loss that you have. You'll need to be in contact with your local emergency response coordinator to make sure they have that information so that that calculus will be provided to the federal government so you can get a reimbursement. In addition to water, we're also very concerned about making sure that we get food to the Texans who need it.
Okay, and let me just take a quick break here as a message is coming in from TxDOT, a traffic alert. A northbound I-35 is closed after Woodward Street due to a crash, and traffic is detouring to the frontage road around Oltorf Street. So this is northbound lanes of I-35 are closed after Woodward Street due to a crash. A traffic detouring to the frontage road at Oltorf at this hour. Just a quick traffic update for you there on News Radio KLBJ. 512-836-0590. If you would like to join us. And, holy, now I'm seeing that the traffic's opened up again. Well, that's pretty fast work on the part of TxDOT. Apparently slow to get the note out about what's going on there, but pretty quick on the fix. Well, good news. Good news on that. Let's get back to the water situation, the power situation here in Central Texas, and what's going to be done about it going forward. What you heard the governor mention about getting more plumbers into the state. We'll talk about that here in just a moment. I want to come back to something that we were talking about right before the local news break with John Cooley there. I think I mentioned this right before the news break that ERCOT, the Electric Reliability Council of Texas, reviews about 100 weatherization plans a year, and they make general suggestions. Those are guidelines, just recommendations. ERCOT spokesperson says the council doesn't have the authority to fine or penalize generators if plans have any shortcomings. Now, enter the Texas Public Utility Commission. We know it was announced just on Friday during an emergency meeting that the PUC is going to investigate exactly what led to the disruption of electrical power for millions of Texans. The PUC has three members. They're appointed by the governor. Now, here's the crux of this to me. The PUC requires energy generators to attest twice a year that they have followed their weather plans. We know, based on all the reading that's been done by me and many others, all the reporting has been done by so many others. 2011 was a big winter event here in Texas. Certainly not to the magnitude and scale of this one, but still, a big winter storm in 2011 brought snow, cold temperatures, knocked out power generators, rolling blackouts, and all the rest. An investigation by the federal regulators found that a lot of the problems were because of frozen equipment that hadn't been sufficiently winterized. In response to that, state of Texas began tracking how well prepared our electric grid is for the extreme weather. And then power generators have got to submit emergency plans about what they do in the event of extreme heat or cold. The power generators are not required to take the steps, like de-icing machines, etc. They're just recommendations. And the power generators file these emergency plans. Okay, I think I mentioned a lot of that. So the energy generators have got to attest twice a year that they followed the weather plans. Couldn't we take a look at every statement from every energy producer in the state, 600 plus? Did they attest that they have adhered to the plans, the recommendations, the guidelines? In other words, we do have, even in our kind of laissez-faire system here of power generation in Texas, right? We've got our own grid and we don't tie in everybody else and all of that. But there are certainly layers of checks and balances not a lot of penalties associated with all this, but there are layers of checks and balances. The PUC, ERCOT. So if these people attested, yeah, our winter plans are in place, we're good to go, and then those plans are not in place, there should be some consequences for that, right? Shouldn't there be? Now, the way it is, the consequences are really just from a marketing standpoint. The chief executive of ERCOT said that the high peak prices provide the incentive for the producers to keep operating in all kinds of weather, hot and cold. Because if the generators can't produce power when it's needed the most, they miss out on potentially a huge windfall of profit. And so even the governor has acknowledged that obviously these market incentives are not sufficient. And so he's called on the state legislators to mandate that the power generators prepare for the extreme winter storms. And if you take a look, if I probably won't have time to get into it this afternoon, but the costs associated with the weatherization or the winterize plans, I mean, it looks like a lot. If you're one of these energy executives who says, wait a minute, you're telling me I'm going to have to spend X amount of dollars to winterize a coal-fired plant or a natural gas pipeline or the wells or, you know, that kind of stuff for a weather event that happens once every 100 years? No, we're going to take our chances. Well, you can see how that really came back to bite us this time. But that's the question for these power plant owners. Do they add to their capital cost by preparing for the severe cold like we've just had? Or do they just do the shortcuts and skip out on the preparation piece of it and risk going offline, thus missing out on higher prices, while at the same time exacerbating the whole energy supply shortage situation? I mean, there's a lot of catch-22s in all of this, and we've also learned that on top of all of this is the North American Electric Reliability Corporation, NERC. They set the standards for the power plants and the electric grids. And they're now working on a proposal to require generators to carry out a winter weather plan. And in this scenario, the power plants could be penalized if they don't comply. Glenn Hager, who's the Texas controller, said our lawmakers need to decide what kind of an energy grid we want and how much we're willing to pay for it. He said if Texans want an energy supply chain that can weather another severe deep freeze, the state's going to have to be willing to acknowledge the cost. 512-836-0590, if you would like to join us here on KLBJ. Again, I want to address this because a lot of these kind of headlines really get the attention. These humongous stories about humongous energy bills, right? There was somebody in the New York Times that had a bill upwards almost $17,000. So, again, from Austin Energy, they have addressed this situation, and just in summary, they said somebody in that kind of situation, the one that I just mentioned, an energy bill upwards of $17,000 or so, that has to do with somebody that's on a variable billing plan. Austin Energy is on a fixed cost plan, and it's the city council that has responsibility for raising and lowering the rates. So in a fixed rate program like Austin Energy has, any price increases have to be authorized by the city council. I have 512-836-0590 here on KLBJ. Looks like JD is calling in from Central Texas here on KLBJ. Hello, JD.
Hey, how's it going, Kenny?
Great, thank you.
Hey, so you are exactly right when you were talking about why these units tripped, but I just want to say these plants are not designed in Texas to run at, you know, 10 degrees with, you know, snow and ice falling down on us.
Yeah, and so are you saying that there can't be, surely some weatherization or winterization efforts can be done, right?
Yeah, I'm an operator here in Central Texas at a power plant, and we go through a winter checklist every fall, which means tarps, heat lamps, heat trace, which is hot wires that you plug in around instrument lines and things like that.
Right.
And we monitor it electronically. We put a lot of money into this. We built, you know, little buildings around certain pipes and areas that are known, you know, to falter. So basically what's happening is even those are all in place, when we get these rare events, it fails. A sensor does fail and will trip the unit to protect the unit and personnel. And we were up there Sunday through Tuesday morning, almost 40 hours straight, with blowtorches trying to melt everything.
Mm.
And we still couldn't get the unit to not trip.
Wow.
So, and we were up there with the snow and the ice hitting us in the face on little sleep. And we have smaller units that we kept running, but they tripped too. But we got them back going again. But, you know, we have a big unit that tripped, and it was hard to get back going again.
Well, JD, I appreciate you weighing in. Thanks for what you've been doing and that you continue to do to try to get us all back online. Mike is calling in from Austin here on KLBJ. Hello, Mike.
Hey, I thought you summarized our laissez-faire energy attitude pretty well. I mean, going back to the 90s when W was governor, we've got this Texas grid separate from the rest of the country, just so that we don't have to follow any of the federal regulations. We just have recommendations.
Right.
And that's just criminal. This whole thing is not set up for us, the consumers. It's set up so that the producers can do this all on the cheap and try to make the most money. That's part of the problem with the privatization of all of this energy industry. It's kind of a Wild West, everybody in it for themselves deal. It's only hurts us.
Well, but on the same,
Jerry Jones is making a windfall.
Okay, Mike, thanks. But on the other side of that, it was reported in the Statesman that as the Austin City Council is responsible for approving rate increases and so forth, I think the last time they took action was, it's been, I don't know, several years, a while back, and it was actually a rate reduction. What's also something to keep in mind, too, and this is part a lot of the green energy crowd is not going to want to, you know, think about or talk about, but because of our deregulated system here, there is competition. You just heard from one producer a moment ago, right? We've got 600 plus, and that has attracted billions of dollars in private investment from power companies that has diversified our energy generation sources. We've benefited, you know, not only from the fossil side, but from the green energy side as well. And new businesses have come along with that here to Texas, manufacturers. That means jobs. Since 2001, Texas electric generation has grown almost 30%, over three times faster than the growth rate nationwide. In 2019, Texas generated almost twice as much power as Florida, the next closest state. And here's a key point. Electric rates have fallen under deregulation. That was a top goal. The caller just mentioned W. Back in the 90s, that was a top goal of the free market approach. Just in November, a few months ago, the average U.S. electric rates were about 26% higher nationwide than here in Texas. 512-836-0590. More coming up on KLBJ. Kenny Rahmeyer back with you on a Sunday afternoon. Thanks for being with us on KLBJ. I just saw a post out in Twitter from council member Mackenzie Kelly. I mentioned just a moment ago that there's water distribution sites all around the city. And they started at 11 this morning. Council member Mackenzie Kelly's post says we have plenty of water. Sites may temporarily run through their supply, but we are continuously restocking throughout the day. The sites are open until 5 or while supplies last. Updates are going to be posted at austintexas.gov. Let's restate that. austintexas.gov/weather-info. austintexas.gov/weather-info for the latest on the water distribution sites. There are about 10 of them all around the city. I mentioned also that the governor mentioned in his remarks a little bit ago, they're bringing in more plumbers into the state to try to help with all the broken pipes and commercial, residential, and all the rest. The governor said more than 320 plumbers have renewed their licenses here in Texas, and they're working with some out-of-state companies to try to bring in more. The governor encouraged everybody to certainly get with your insurance company or with contractors and so forth. Just a couple of reminders, a couple of tips, I guess, just to protect yourself, right? I mean, I experienced this even yesterday when a plumber was at my house. And one of the first things that he's doing is taking pictures. So take pictures and videos of everything. The more you can document, the better. Include pictures, not only the damages, but the personal belongings. File your claims as quickly as possible. And watch out for the scammers, right? Watch out for the price gouging. And obviously work with the contractors with whom you have a high degree of trust. I want to begin to wind down here. Of course, all these things don't happen without somebody like Bill Gates weighing in on our situation here in Texas.
It was mostly the thermal generators that went offline because they haven't been weatherized. Obviously, wind works in North Dakota, it works in Alaska. We know how to weatherize wind turbines. The wind does come and go, but what was shut down, the vast majority, is thermal plants here. The failure to weatherize some of the nuclear sensors, the natural gas plants, and even some of the wind are responsible for their power shortage, and the wind is a tiny part of it. There is a reliability issue that will have to design the system, including more transmission. You know, Texas over time will want to connect up so that when it does get shortages, it's able to draw on other parts of the country.
Well, therein lies some of the debate, right? It's going to be ongoing, fossil versus green energy. Do we stay independent and have a kind of a laissez-faire free enterprise type system, or do we go with the regulations and all the rest? So that's going to continue. This might continue as well. The hammering that Senator Ted Cruz is getting out in social media and in the court of public opinion. As predicted, Saturday Night Live had some fun with it. Here's a little bit of that from last night.
Well, if you hate Ted Cruz, this is a pretty fun week. And if you like Ted Cruz, then you're Ted Cruz. Senator Cruz, whose face is slowly being reclaimed by nature, said that his decision to go on a family vacation to Cancun during Texas's weather emergency was obviously a mistake. Cruz initially released a statement saying he only went on vacation because his daughters made him go. And if you think it was bad to throw his daughters under the bus, Cruz would like you to know that that statement was his wife's idea. I just love that after he abandoned Texas, he came back in a Texas flag mask like nothing happened. That's like Jared and Ivanka walking down Fifth Avenue in I Love New York shirts.
Cruz would have returned from Mexico even sooner, but it took him like 40 minutes to get out of a hammock.
Okay, well, just a sampling of Saturday Night Live lampooning. Cruz, I did see he posted a couple of pictures out there in social media. He was handing out a bottle of water, so he's doing that. Hey, thanks for being with us this afternoon. Be sure and join our daytime lineup starting with Todd and Don tomorrow morning at 5 for all the latest right here on KLBJ.